S. This is strictly up to the individual. In my work I have come across examples of this. In one regression a young woman was being burned at the stake for her beliefs while the whole town watched. She was terrified but was also very angry at the bigoted people who were responsible for this. As the flames leapt higher, she decided she would not give them the satisfaction of seeing her suffer. So she left the body and watched from a hovering position above the scene. There, much to her chagrin and aggravation, she saw her body screaming as it went through the agonies of burning to death. In this case it was very obvious that the body and the spirit were two separate things. I think it would be very reassuring and comforting to people who have lost loved ones in a violent, horrible way, to know that they probably did not even experience the most traumatic part of the death. It makes a great deal of sense to realize that the spirit would not want to remain in the body and experience all that pain. Therefore the spirit removes itself and the body is merely reacting spontaneously. Much in the same way that we react when we cut or bum ourselves accidentally. We yell and pull our hand away. This is not a conscious reaction but an involuntary one. Thus it would appear that during a horrible death the body is merely reacting while the real personality has vacated and is watching from the sidelines. Another description of death, S. Imagine yourself naked, cold and bleeding, walking through the dark woods full of briars and wild animals and strange noises. You know that behind every bush is a beast ready to pounce and tear you apart. And then suddenly you walk into a clearing where there is grass growing and birds singing, clouds in the sky and a pleasant laughing brook that means on its way to its destination. Imagine the difference in these scenarios and you can see my analogy portraying what you would call life and death. D. But there are many people on earth who are afraid of it. S. Many people who are in the forest are afraid, that is correct. Once they are out of the forest there is no fear. The fear is in the forest. D. Then there is nothing to be afraid of in the transition. S. There are some transitions which are more desirable than others. I will not mince words on this. However, a door is merely a door. No matter how many times you open it, it simply will not change from being a door. Another description, S. People should not be afraid of dying. Death is no more to be feared than breathing. Dying is as natural and as painless as blinking your eyes. And that's almost the way it is. At one moment you're in one plane of existence and you blink your eyes, so to speak, and you're in another plane of existence. That's about the physical sensation you have, and it's as painless as that. Any pain you feel in the process is from physical damage. But spiritually, there is no pain. Your memories are intact and you feel the same, as if your life is continuing. Sometimes it takes you a little bit to notice that you're no longer connected to your physical body, but usually that is noticed right away because your perceptions are broadened to where you can perceive the spiritual plane without the veil in the way. This is the clouded mirror, as some have likened it to. What happens is that at first there is a period of orientation. You are still very conscious of the physical plane but you are exploring and absorbing the sensations of being aware of the spiritual plane. Until you get used to the fact that you're really on the spiritual plane and you are comfortable with it. D. Can you tell me, does your spirit include your soul when it leaves your body? S. Your spirit is your soul. The soul concept encompasses that energy which you would call your spirit, your identity, your reality. That is indeed your true self. You may call it your spirit or your soul depending on which perception you would choose to integrate into your reality. D. We've heard a lot about what is called the silver cord. Is there any such thing? S. This is, as you might perceive it, a lifeline to your body which is very real in nature. In an energetic sense this is the cord which maintains a lifeline with your energies to your body. It is indeed a real device. D. Then at the point of death this cord is severed? S. That is accurate. D. Some people are afraid to have out-of-the-body experiences for fear that they might become separated from their body prematurely. S. It is possible to do this. However, it is almost certainly done intentionally and not through accident. D. You mean when they go out of the body the silver cord connects them so they can't become lost, so to speak? S. That is accurate. There should be no fear in experiencing astral travel. for were it not meant to happen, it would never happen. D. But in many cases, it is not planned, it is spontaneous. S. That is accurate. It is spontaneous. D. Is there any danger of someone staying out of the body too long on one of these journeys? S. We perceive there is no danger. For were the individual not to return, it will be of his or her own choosing and not because some malevolent energy has come in behind and severed the cord. D. They couldn't become lost, in other words, and not find their way back? S. We do not perceive this as true. D. Then they are definitely connected with the body until the point of death, and then the cord is severed. It is like an umbilical, so to speak. S. That is entirely accurate. D. If death would occur during an out-of-body experience, what would we say the body died of? Would it be a heart attack? S. You are asking what the physical symptoms would be. Sudden infant syndrome is often ascribed to this. There are also those who, because of age, simply choose not to return, and so they are found in their sleep. D. Is it a heart attack? S. That is not the case, because a heart attack is death induced by a real physical ailment, and is not what we refer to here. They would die in their sleep, and it would be called from natural causes. D. If an autopsy were performed, they wouldn't find any cause at all? S. That is accurate. D. What about people who seem to die of spontaneous combustion? That is an unexplained mystery. S. This is due to an imbalance of what you would call chemicals within the system. It is because of the fact that human bodies do burn food, though through a very controlled and very slow process. Such a death is caused by the combustion of the body fluids. This is oftentimes due to hereditary factors which cause an imbalance in the chemical makeup of the body. For example, too much phosphorus in the body system. D. Is this caused by diet? S. Not so much caused from diet but from the signals given to the body to produce levels of these chemicals. D. Is this an accidental happening or is it intentional? S. That would be hard to describe, for all experiences are unique. It could be one of either or both. D. What about people who seem to die in groups? There are many cases such as train accidents, massacres, earthquakes, where several people die at one time. Did they all choose to go at the same time or did they have anything to say about it? S. You're aware of the concept of karma on an individual basis. There is indeed also what is called group karma. There have been, through many eons of time, instances where souls have tended to group together to perform certain tasks, or to establish changes, or to experience life in a group, much as you tend to experience on an individual basis. These group deaths are nothing more than individual souls who would come together at some certain points in their transition, that is, in their learning experience of dying, and in so doing find themselves at a juncture at which it would be most appropriate for them to depart simultaneously. D. Did they agree to do this before their entry into the life? S. That is accurate. For it is in this group transition that they find support. There is a sharing of the experience in that they are not alone in this transition. In many cases there have been multiple births and lives shared, so it is not uncommon to find multiple or shared deaths. D. Was this the case with the astronauts who passed over in the Challenger spaceship accident? S. Indeed, this was one instance in which it was agreed that there would be that sharing of the death experience. D. But there was so much suffering for the families and people all over the country when this happened. If they were going to their destiny, why can't we be happy about it? S. Perhaps there is a short-sightedness in seeing these events. You are thinking only of the individuals who departed. This is not the case. There are many other elements involved. In cases like this, there was a coming together of the survivors, a sharing of the experience. In seeing that someone else is sharing the grief, it is much easier for an individual to experience this, knowing that there are others who are going through the same thing. Thus, this was a group experience on many levels. Many subjects describe the experience after leaving the physical body as journeying toward a bright dazzling light at the end of a tunnel or whatever. These descriptions have been duplicated in reports of near-death experiences. One of my subjects said that this white light was an intense energy field that served as the barrier between our physical world and the spiritual realm. Ins the person will approach the light, but are pulled back into their body before entering it. They have actually been in a near-death situation, but they did not complete the transition. They did not go far enough. When my subjects have relived the death experience, they pass through the white light, the barrier. At that point the energy is so intense that it severs the silver cord, the umbilical that attaches the spirit to the physical body. When this occurs the spirit cannot cross back through the barrier and enter their body again. The two have been forever separated. Without this connection to its life force, the soul or spirit, the body quickly begins to deteriorate. After dying, there seems to be a period of confusion for some spirits. All do not experience this. Much of it depends upon the manner of death, whether it was natural or sudden and unexpected. The main thing that I found is the assurance that one is never alone after going through the death experience. There's sometimes a period when you're not really sure where you are, whether you're on the physical plane or the spiritual plane, because some of the sensations are similar, yet they're different. And you're trying to figure out what is going on and where you are. There is a period of orientation or reorientation, which can be confusing to some as they figure out where they should go from here. But they needn't worry because help is sent immediately. Usually a handful of souls will come that you have had close karmic connections with in former lifetimes. There's always one or two or even more on hand that are in between incarnations themselves. They will be there to greet you. And the person will recognize them due to his connection with them in the immediate past lifetime. Another thing that causes confusion when you cross over to the spiritual planes is that your memory starts opening up to your past incarnations and your entire karmic picture. So you'll recognize those souls. First, initially in the relationship you knew them in the life you just left. Then you'll start remembering other relationships where you've known them. That's part of the process of remembering all of your karma while you're on that plane. So, D.S. You can understand what you've just completed and what you still need to work out when you return to Earth again. Then it is true that someone always comes when people die? Yes. If possible, it's usually someone who was special to them during their life, if they have not reincarnated. Someone that they can identify with, and the power of attraction is there to help them through the period of transition. But many times people die violently or suddenly. If they don't know they are dead, are they more apt to be confused? Yes, that is true. And the helper who is there has to explain to them what is going on, and to help them through it. When the spirit is met by other souls after it has died, where does it usually go? It goes to the plane where the learning takes place. There's no central location for it, it's just a state of being. And usually the spirit interacts with many other souls while it is doing this. After learning what it needs for its next lifetime, it consults with the spiritual masters and starts preparing for its next incarnation. It consults with the spiritual masters to see what kind of situation would be best for the spirit to come back into. There is also consultation about which souls would be best for it to interact with for the benefit of all. Have you ever heard of the resting place? Yes, if you are referring to what I am picturing, it is a special place for damaged souls to go to rest and restore themselves before they can enter the company of other souls or enter the plane of incarnation again. Some people believe that the form of Jesus' spirit will contact you to guide you at the time that your spirit leaves your body. It is entirely possible, however, not mandatory or in all cases. It is sometimes done if the individual crossing over requests or desires to see this Jesus energy, and so it is in fact the Jesus energy which would manifest itself. For he has so stated that his help shall be a part of this process, and it is there for any who would so choose to open themselves up to this energy, be they incarnate or not. This is also true for people of other beliefs or religions. If they have a deep abiding belief in a particular entity, that spirit energy will be there for them to help ease the crossing, if this is what they desire. D. There is also a belief that there is a place in the spirit world where spirits sleep because they die believing that they have to rest until Jesus comes the second time and resurrects them. S. That which you expect to find or that reality you create, you do indeed find. Were they to expect to awaken into perhaps a carnival, then that would be what they would find. Anything is possible if they believe in it. There are so many different things that can happen after the death of what you would term the physical body. When a body expires, the soul never does. If it is a gentle death, then there is a feeling of relief, of wonder, of freedom. For the most part, what the person expects to be there will be there. If they expect to meet guides or friends along the way to help them toward the light, this is what they shall see. If they were steeped in the belief of damnation and hellfire, and if they believe that they deserve this, this is what they shall also perceive. Most of this is based upon the preparation of the individual's soul prior to death. But usually, there are those who were close to them before they passed over to the other side. More times than not, another soul will come and guide them to a place of healing, so they will lose their confusion and understand what has occurred. Perhaps the spirit is confused because it's been a long time since they've been to this side. The greeters will help them become unconfused and find where they want to go and need to go. In this way, if it is someone they have known, then they have no fear, for fear is what causes people to be in shock. Some people, if it is a traumatic death, go into a period of deep, deep resting until they can handle the experience of knowing that their body has ceased to exist. And the awakening will be very slow. We don't need people who are wandering around in a daze. They can cause themselves harm and others also. D. Do they do that sometimes? S. It has not been unknown to happen, yes. They don't know where they are. In their panic, they can hurt themselves by feeling, I've got to get back, I've got to get back. And they tie themselves to wherever they died by the feeling that this can't be happening. D. It is better if they go and rest? S. Yes, because then they can be awakened slowly, knowing that what has happened is good and it is right and natural. The shock and trauma have been lost then. D. Do their loved ones come when there is a traumatic death also? S. Yes, sometimes they just take them to a place where they can rest. But something that you would think of as a traumatic death would not always be considered traumatic on this side. You would perhaps consider many soldiers to have died traumatic deaths. Yet sometimes they are some of the most accepting of what has happened, more so than perhaps someone who died in childbirth. D. I suppose it just depends on the circumstances and the individual soul. S. Yes, to a great extent. There appeared to be an established cycle of constantly returning to Earth again after being on the other side. It seemed to me that if someone were in a place where they could not die, that they would naturally want to remain there forever. I was thinking of the way people on Earth are always searching for immortality. S. No, you would be bored very quickly. If your lesson of the third grade is over, why would you want to stay in the third grade for the rest of your life? It could be comfortable, but there would be no learning. D. There would be no challenges. S. That's true. Death is necessary in order to progress. Stagnation would occur if there were no death in order to move one to the spirit side. This is an ongoing process which is best suited for the learning of much information. All is as it should be in this respect. If the lessons you were learning were finished, then there would be a casting off of the experiences which taught those lessons, and an assuming of new experiences to learn the more advanced lessons. It is simply climbing ladders, if you will, where each level of experience is growing in awareness from the one below it. So the surroundings which will be the catalyst for these experiences will be discarded as the new experiences are needed. Would you like to stay in your third grade classroom and take fourth or sixth grade classes? Or would it be better to be in a new environment and start with a new frame of mind? If you were left in the same classroom, you would tend to think in the same terms. The frame of mind is very important also. D. I think that's true of many people on Earth. Sometimes if they stay in the same environment, they don't grow. Is that what you mean? S. That is exactly correct. D. They need the challenge of something new, a new place, new surroundings. S. New surroundings are very important to progression. Reminders of the past inhibit looking to the future. S. Some people think that there is no life after death. She gave a short laugh, but once something exists, the energy which is that existence cannot be destroyed. Why is it so hard to believe that there is existence after the death of a physical body? You cannot destroy something like electricity because the energy is always there, although in a different form. Why do they think that a human spirit and soul can be destroyed when energy cannot? That is what the human soul is, nothing but energy. For the soul is not merely a thing which is residing within the physical body. It is an energy. And as an energy, it can propagate as energies are wont to do. The correct perception of your personality would be as energy, for that is the essence of the truth of creation, that is energy. Some forms are on lower levels, such as the physical world around you, but they are energy and can be demonstrated as such by simple conversion processes such as fire. All matter is in reality energy. It is simply manifested in a lower, baser form. And so you can see yourselves as pure beings of energy, nothing more, nothing less. There is no such thing as matter. This is simply a connotation which has been given to describe that which is apparent around the physical world. S. Death holds many fears. However, death is the great denier, the great untruth. It is that which is most unspoken about, but yet most thought about. There is no need to fear death, for with its release there is again life which far exceeds that which is here on this planet. However, to those who would deny this life, we would caution that by improper use, that is, by suicide or of that nature, one generates that energy which follows to the other side. And it is then necessary to be dealt with on the other side. It is, and never will be, appropriate to cast off a living body before its time. That is a waste which is not to be tolerated. D. I'm trying to make all this clear so people won't be so afraid of these things. S. Yes. The main problem you will have is not fear but philosophical dogma in the way. D. Do you mean in the way of explaining it? S. Philosophical dogma is the way people have of closing off their minds to what is. For example, people who followed a fear and greed of belief will find it difficult to comprehend some of the things that I have explained. D. You mean those who are brought up in the belief of things like heaven and hell? S. For example, yes. And the ones that are brought up in the belief that each soul has only one incarnation. That is foolish, but that is what they believe. D. Yes, they think life is one time around and that's it. There are those who cannot accept the idea that they have lived more than once. S. Is it any harder to believe that you can be born once into a body than to believe you can be born twice or more? D. Some people have a hard time with the concept. S. Only those on your side. That is one reason why so many of them have problems with depression and such. Because they feel they're screwing up their only chance. If they realize that they have a multitude of chances, they could do their best each time and not feel bad for the mistakes they make. They can work it out the next time. D. They should just try to do the best they can this time around. It makes sense to me. But there are many people who don't understand it. S. There are many who do not want to. Many have fear of thinking of another existence after the one they are living, because perhaps the one they are living is so painful that they think it would be continuous torture to have one life after. D. S. D. S. Another. Many of the churches do not want people to believe in prior or successive existences because of the fact that it loosens their grip of fear and they no longer have control. The leaders of all of the great schools of thought knew of previous existence and successive existence, but it was closed off to the general knowledge because of control. Even the Hindu school of thought uses this control in a different manner because they say that, this man has done something in his previous existence to make him suffer now. Therefore, why should I help him? He has done something to deserve this. In this way they are using the same tactics as Christianity or any of the others. You have to remember that not all of those who say they are on the side of religion, are. They perhaps are being warped by the darker side of things without themselves knowing it. Men have removed many things from the Bible and added what they wished. They have no cares, They think that this is what I wish it to say, and therefore that is what it says. People seem to have fear when something like this is brought up. When you try to tell them that the Bible has been changed many times throughout history, these things cause them to think, and many people are afraid of free thinking. When you take away what people have believed in all of their life and say that it is different, or that perhaps their parents unknowingly lied to them, you are taking away their foundations of what they believe in. And man cannot survive without something to believe in, even if it is the belief that there is nothing. He must believe in something. In other words, they are frightened by a different school of thought. People said the same things of Jesus when he said that he came to fulfill the prophecies. They said that he was wrong, that he was crazy, that he didn't know what he was talking about. Every time someone comes up with something that's a little bit different or a little unusual, it's going to frighten people and they're going to say bad things about it. This knowledge is something that needs to be taught, because man has to learn to be without fear in order to be what he can be. There are people who need to know these things, and it will strike a spark in them and they will recognize it as being the truth. It will perhaps help them find their way to become what they want to and need to become. They are the ones that are important, because they will eventually bring enough people onto their side. Remember, there were only a few, a handful of people, who believed in the message of Jesus. And now look at the world. Much of the world professes, at least outwardly, Christianity. The truth has been suppressed for many centuries, and it is time for it to come out. Not all of my information about the death experience has come from hypnosis. Occasionally people tell me about near-death experiences, NDEs, which they have had. This term was made popular by the work of Dr. Raymond Moody and Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. It refers to events people remember when they have literally died and crossed the threshold to the other side, and have been brought back to our world of the living by the advances of science. The stories that people have recounted to me traditionally follow the pattern that other researchers have discovered. They also paralleled the information I have found in my work, with the exception that these people have come back to report their experience, whereas mine remained on the spirit plane until they were reincarnated into their present life. My subjects carry the memory, but it is buried deep within their subconscious and can only be released by the use of regressive hypnosis. The case I will report carries many of the classical portions. A friend introduced me to Meg by saying that she had a remarkable story to tell me. Meg had not confided this experience to very many people because she was afraid of ridicule. It was too personal and private, and she felt there were many who would never understand the importance she placed upon it. She felt it had changed her life forever. Meg was not the same after it, nor would she ever be the same. She believed this was the reason she was allowed to retain the memory. It was a gift she could draw upon in times of indecision and stress. She explained that hypnosis would not be necessary to recover the memory from her subconscious because it had been forever emblazoned in her mind. Meg may have been hazy about some of the details, but she knew she would never forget it, and no one would ever be able to convince her it had not occurred. It was a turning point in her life. Meg was a mature woman in her late 40s, married with several children. She had not read anything about NDEs, and she definitely had not been exposed to my material. She led an active life with many interests, but everything that had happened since the event had hinged upon its importance. It continued to color everything in her life. We met at a friend's house where we could have privacy, and Meg settled into a comfortable chair to relate her story for the tape recorder. I was impressed by her need for accuracy and the careful way she avoided embellishment of any kind. She felt the need to recite it correctly, and she remembered it in remarkable detail. Meg agreed to allow me to print the story on the condition that I keep her anonymous. This is what occurred, in her own words. It happened when I had surgery about 10 years ago, in 1978. I was due to open a bookstore in June, but accidentally in a routine examination they found a lesion on my lung. They couldn't decide whether it was cancerous or benign, so I had to have lung surgery. I must say that before going in I intuitively did not feel like I had a cancer, but I didn't feel too good about this surgery. I didn't have good vibrations about it. That's the only way I can describe it. I had gone through a rather conventional childhood. I went to several different churches and then no churches at all. They were every type, congregational, Lutheran, etc. When we moved out to the country, I went with my next-door neighbor to the Baptist church.